This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now I'm going to want to watch Star Wars all weekend, but I can't because A, it's Masters weekend, B, my taxes must be done, and I will never finish my taxes if I'm distracted by Star Wars. But, ooh, a Star Wars marathon. Maybe I'll save it for vacation. I'm 3 weeks away from vacation. Ah! I can't help it. And actually, as happened 2 years ago, the last time I took a vacation, this always seems to fall around May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you. So I'll bet you I find a Star Wars marathon on TV over the course of my vacation, but I digress. We're not there yet, so I'm not going to get super excited. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the dealio, yo. We want to know, as sports fans, who is your evil empire? Whatever your fandom, whoever you root for, there's generally a rival. There's generally a team that you root against as passionately as you support your own uniform, your own team, your own franchise. It doesn't mean that you boo them. It doesn't mean you bang on a trash can when they show up at your stadium, but it does mean there's a burning fire. You wish they would lose every single game they ever played. Now, it could be an individual if we're talking about an individual sport. I remember when I love to watch Steffi Graf play, and she is still one of my favorite athletes of all time. I couldn't stand it when Monica Seles came along and started to beat her in various matches. Doesn't mean you hate that person. It's sports hate, so it's not the same thing. But you would label them the evil empire. They need to be destroyed. To take the analogy a step further. So we'll take your calls later on this hour. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Toll free. Already have a post up on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can find it on my Twitter. And then our Facebook page, many of you already submitting your answers. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We're going to spend a little time in Atlanta because there's a lot of intrigue surrounding the Falcons and what they might do with that number 4 overall pick in the NFL draft, which we'll know the answer to this question this time in 2 weeks. But for now, we're left to speculate and also pick the brain of our next guest. Randy McMichael is an NFL veteran, a tight end when he played in the league. Now he's part of the midday show on our Atlanta affiliate, 92.9 The Game. Randy, thanks for a couple of minutes. What do we think, or what do we know, or how do we guess what the Falcons are going to do with that number 4 pick in the draft?
Well, right now, as of whatever time we are right now, I know Taylor Fott knows all of his phone is ringing as far as teams try to move up. And I think that the Falcons do want to move out of there. I think it's more or less because you look at Matt Ryan. I think personally Matt Ryan has 2 to 3 really good years left in him. I think you got to build a team around him, especially you got a team up front and the running back. But I think that, you know, the Falcons, if they stay at four, I think Kyle Pitts, if he's there, I think you got to grab him. But I think the Falcons should move back. But the story here in Atlanta is, and I say this to our audience all the time here, Amy, is if Justin Fields is there at four, he's a local kid, quarterback of the future, can you pass on him, you know, and you need to sell tickets, you know what I mean? So I think the Falcons are at a point where they want to get up out of there, but they have to look at what Miami got. Miami got three firsts and a conditional third. Mm. The Falcons got to get at least two first-round picks and maybe a second or something for that spot for teams to move up.
The problem is the intrigue about number three, right? Because there's a lot of smoke and mirrors about what the Niners may do at number three. So just for argument's sake, Randy, if they come in and they take Justin Fields, then what happens? If, you know, it could be the domino effect.
The thing about the smoke and mirrors is I think everybody's looking at it because all the smoke and mirrors say San Francisco's taking Mac Jones. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are drafting Mac Jones. I just don't believe that. And it's nothing personal against Mac because I think, and Amy, you've been doing this a long time. I think when you go through this draft process, because you prefer one prospect or another, people look at it as you're bashing another prospect. I'm not bashing Mac Jones. I think Justin Fields is a better player. You know, so I don't know why San Francisco would trade all the way there for Mac Jones, but if they do, they do. I think Kyle Shanahan is the best offensive play caller in all of football. But, I mean, the smoke and mirrors part about it is that, you know, they're going to Justin Fields, his pro day, I think it's next week up in Ohio State because they went to Mac Jones in Tuscaloosa. I mean, it's so crazy right now. And we're at a point now that we get prospect overload. We just got to find something wrong with these guys. If you remember the year of Mr. Trubisky and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, it's all about, you know, draft a guy who I think is a guy who can put your team in a position to win a Super Bowl. They almost won a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. If he hits Emmanuel Sanders, 49ers win a Super Bowl. I think that the Falcons need to find, first of all, they need pass rush, they need offensive line help, and they need safeties and a running back. They don't need a quarterback right now at the number four spot, in my opinion. They can find one in the third round, fourth round, fifth round. And the crazy thing about it, Amy, is that there's other drafts that people don't want to talk about. There's a draft next year. There's going to be a quarterback. Next year, there's going to be a quarterback. So I think that the Falcons have got to find a way to get up out of four. And right now, I know the terrifying new GM here. His phone is ringing, and he needs to get right there for this team.
Agreed. There are so many other needs, and it's certainly not the fault of Matt Ryan. I don't even think really the fault of the offense that they end up in this number four spot. And yet teams are so obsessed with quarterbacks and finding the next hot young thing when you think about some of the young studs that are making headlines and helping teams win these days. Randy McMichael spent over 10 years in the NFL as a tight end and was drafted in 2002. He's joining us from our Atlanta affiliate 92.9 The Game. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How different was it when you were drafted in 2002? How much has it changed, meaning the atmosphere, the attention, the hype around the draft?
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. And the fact that pro days right now, and I understand the combine is not here and all those things. I know they're going to have some prospects up in Indianapolis for the medical rechecks and all those things. But it's unbelievable, the new thing that everybody does, the draft machine, whatever they put it in, and it pokes out draft picks, and they're sending them to me, and like, Randy, what do you think about this? I don't know. I'm not up there flying rich with, with Terry and Arthur Smith up there making a draft, but it's unbelievable how big this has become because of the fact is that football never dies. It never sleeps. NBA has a dead period. Major League Baseball is there. NFL, it goes year-round. And right now, you're at a point, and it could be because of the whole pandemic and all that, and we're seems like we're coming up out of it, but that could have a part of it also. But I've never seen just the fact that Zach Wilson threw a ball when he was rolling to his right and threw it back to his left or left-right, and everybody just says, oh, that's the greatest throw I've ever seen. Are you serious? There's nobody about to hit him. There's no pressure on him or nothing. So, I mean, I just laugh at it and everything, but I always want to preface everything I say is that I want all of these young players, these young men, to succeed. And the thing about the quarterback position, and you know this, it's always overvalued. It's always overscouted. And if there's five first-round quarterbacks this year, one will be a superstar, two will be okay, and two will be bust. That's how it always goes.
Trevor Lawrence, he's already a superstar, a household name, and I know he had an incredible college career, but the pressure that's on him as the presumptive number one pick, the guy can't even go to the Masters and hang out with, well, he was hanging out with Patrick Mahomes, but he can't even go to the Masters and enjoy himself without cameras being on his every move.
Trevor has been a superstar since he's been in 10th grade. I mean, up there at Cartersville High School. You know, this guy, and he's getting married this weekend, I was reading, too. So he's at the Masters, and the fact that his wife let him go to the Masters it is Thursday. He's already there Thursday. But the fact that she let him go, that's enough pressure, enough to say, hey, babe, I know it's our wedding weekend, and I know we got all these people coming in town, but can I drive over I-20 to go down to Augusta to go to the Masters real quick for the first round, and I promise I'll be back in time. But even Trevor, as much as people have, just anointed him as this generational prospect, you never know, because the thing with young quarterbacks, and we've seen this, is that you got to surround them with the right thing. Trevor is going to, when he's drafted in three weeks, he will be the whole pressure of the whole city of Jacksonville will be on his shoulders to try to revitalize an organization whose owner hasn't really shown us anything about, you know, him wanting to be a winner. It seems like he wants to get to London so bad that all this is done. We don't know what Urban's going to do. We don't know anything about these guys. But, I mean, from what I know, from people who know Trevor, he's ready for this burden.
I am looking forward to seeing his transition, to be sure, and have been really impressed not just with him on the field, but off the field, his leadership, his maturity, and as you say, the fact that he's balanced and he's well-rounded. Randy, we just had the expansion of the season from 16 to 17 regular season games. The playoffs are already supersized, so the NFL, it's like urban sprawl. It just keeps on going. So your reaction to having 17 games in which your body takes that crazy pounding?
It was inevitable. It was. And the thing about it is, and I just remember, you know, I remember being in the league when we went to that one strike, and it wasn't really a strike, because the thing about the players is, I remember, Amy, the last game, we walked out the tunnel, all of us held up our fingers. We're one. We're going to stand together against the owners. We're going to get our demands. And then when late July came and them checks weren't coming in, it was like, hey, we need to get back to work. Until the players decide that they're going to miss money, they won't get what they want. Now, the 17th game, they're getting money for that 17th game. So it seems like it's one of those things where damn if you do, damn if you don't, because of the fact that you collectively bargained this. You gave them that power. And there's no way in heck that the owners were going to miss out on a Sunday game check for the owners. I don't know how much they make per Sundays on the NFL Sunday, but I know it's a boatload of money, and there was no way that they were not going to take advantage of that opportunity. Now, as a player, you're never healthy after the first hit you take at training camp, you know, and it's to a point where, you know, you fight through it, you get through it and all those things, and I just don't know how it's going to affect as far as when you are clinched a playoff spot in week 15, because we've seen how it is in a 16-week season where, hell, Patrick Mahomes don't play for 3 weeks, so is it the point where they clinch, they don't play for a month? But, I mean, until the players can find a way to sit down and be like, hey, guys, because it's easy for a player who's making $10 million to a guy who's making $450,000, which is a whole lot of money, don't get me wrong. But when we all know, when this whole new CBA was bargaining and collecting all those things, it was geared towards the mid to lower level players, which rightfully so, they deserve more money. But, you know, that'll be all right. I mean, I just look at it like this. When you wake up on Sunday, it's game day. Mm. No matter if it's week one, week 17, it's time to go. Let's go. I'm not going to sit here and be like in the locker room, sitting in my locker with my helmet on. Man, I don't want to play this game. No, it's game time. So that's what the players do.
Randy McMichael spent over a decade in the NFL as a tight end, and now he's with our Atlanta affiliate, 92.9 The Game, as part of the midday show. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So as part of our question tonight for my listening audience, we're talking about evil empires in sports. And I'm thinking about Major League Baseball, the commissioner's office, some of the moves they've made where I feel like they can't get out of their own way. Randy, the decision to, because of a political controversy, they're moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta. What kind of a reaction has that had locally?
Major League Baseball needs to grow the hell up. They do. They need to market their young superstars and allow this game to grow and bring these young kids. Like when I was a little kid, I love baseball. But they need to market these young players. And when this ruling came down, you know, I never thought that they would go this extreme. We're gonna have an All-Star game because we lost the NCAA tournament.
Right.
How great this will be for the economy, all these things, jobs, everything you think about when you have one of these major sporting events in your city. And when it came down, I was like, oh. And I know Mayor Bottoms and everybody, they were lobbying for Major League Baseball not to take it out of it. And I mean, I will honestly believe I was so surprised by it, and I hated that it happened for this city because we needed that. We needed that platform to, one for one, for jobs for the people who work at the stadium and around the city and all those things. But, yeah, it really caught me off guard when I saw that. I was like, hold on, what? Because I saw the story that it was a possibility, and Amy, I paid it no attention. But then when I saw what actually happened, it really took me for a back.
It's definitely one of those moves where baseball has faced a polarizing reaction, and I certainly hope that the league office is prepared to deal with it, whatever the fallout happens to be. All right, so the Braves have started out a little bit slowly. I know it's a really long season, but are you guys into debating every single game, every single day, and people freaking out over it?
Of course they are. You know, like you said, I was an athlete for a long time, and now doing radio, you interact with the fans even more. And no team here in Atlanta frustrates me more. But I have faith. I'm not going to panic because there's 162 games. And I believe that this team will challenge. I know the Dodgers are the Dodgers. I know, you know, what San Diego's done, Tatis and all those guys. But I believe in my Braves. And we are going to win the World Series this year.
Well, how about that?
You know, in April. I'm saying in April, but I believe it. I believe it. But, yes, you know, as fans, we are about our teams, and we love our teams, and we get frustrated when our teams don't do what we expect them to do.
Yeah, perspective is completely lost when it comes to being a sports fan. So you had that perspective as an athlete, but not so much as a radio host.
No.
Logic does not appeal to sports radio audiences. It's not an attractive quality. But you can straddle the line. So it's good to have you on the show. You can follow Randy on Twitter at RandyMack81. Spent 11 years in the NFL as a tight end and is now part of our Atlanta affiliate, 92.9 The Game. I always enjoy it when I get to do my show from there. You can catch him middays. Great to talk to you, Randy. Thanks so much.
No, Amy, thank you so much for inviting me on. It was a pleasure, and you take care, okay?
A lot packed in there with Randy. Good to get his perspective on the Falcons and the fact that he thinks they should trade out of that number four spot because they have much greater needs than quarterback. But will they cave to the pressure of getting the next hot young QB, the one who would follow Matt Ryan? I like that he points out there are other drafts. There's 22. There's 23. You don't have to grab a quarterback right now. It's my opinion, like it is Randy's, that Matt Ryan's still good for a few more years. 855-212-4227. Who is the evil empire in your sports world? That team you love to hate, that team you root against as much as you root for your own guys. Or maybe it is an individual. When I love to cheer for Dale Earnhardt, I love to root against Jeff Gordon. In fact, I would root for him to crash. Not seriously, but you know what I'm saying. Just enough to get out of Dale's way. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and as you heard with Randy McMichael, I brought up Major League Baseball's decision to move the All-Star game. I'll elaborate why I believe it's just another knock on the baseball commissioner's office and why he may very well be turning the league office into an evil empire.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Dean leads at first. Arenado hits it deep. Left field. Back to the track. The wall. It's a gunner. Two-run homer. Nolan Arenado. Homers.
Way to go, John. That's a great call. And Arenado touches the ball. Boy, what an opening day this is, huh?
For a great power hitter like Arenado, Mike, all it takes is one.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Nolan Arenado, the home opener for the St. Louis Cardinals, his new club. And I know for a while, and we'll see if it gets back that way. Just it felt so different the last year, of course, without fans in the stands. But Cubs-Cardinals, great rivalry out of the NL Central. But could there also be a bit of a spitfire and some rivalry that develops between the Rockies and the Cardinals for the fact that Arenado's got that massive contract and then wasn't content to stay put, and now he's part of a franchise that very much wants to win. But a cool moment for him. I watched that home run and love to see his expression, his excitement, and of course, the fans welcoming him into the Cardinals' fold. This is the kind of baseball town where I think most athletes would tell you it's a privilege to play.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Just a great day from the beginning. Never been a part of something like that. And then obviously to help the team win here, it's a great feeling. Their pitcher over there pitched a great game, made it really hard on us. So it was cool. You know, it feels good to come out with a win, especially with the way he pitched. So I'm just really happy.
You hear the call with John Rooney and Mike Shannon on the Cardinals radio network, and then Nolan himself on Bally Sports Midwest. Adam Wainwright was the starter in this home opener. He goes five innings, allows just one run, strikes out six, and the Cardinals get that big blast from Arenado in the eighth inning to win the game. At that point, it was tied. 855-212-4227. Who is your evil empire as a sports fan? And to elaborate on what I said about Major League Baseball and the commissioner, this goes back to previous dealings with the players' union. In baseball, the union is relatively powerful. I would say it's more powerful than the NFL PA and some others. But there is definitely a cantankerous relationship between the union and the commissioner's office, to the point where we may be headed for some labor strife. We'll see when we get there. Might get worse before it gets better. But after what happened last spring, with the two sides going back and forth, and the multiple proposals that were shot down just on principle, and then the commissioner coming out and saying, we were never going to play more than 60 games anyway. We just spent the entire springtime arguing about millions of dollars for the fun of it, for the heck of it. Why not? There was nothing else to do. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Baseball looked really bad. And then you throw into the mix Rob Manfred's decision to continually try to tweak the game. I don't know that putting a runner on second base in extra innings is going to attract any new fans. In fact, it's kind of wonky. It's very little league gimmicky. And so there are a lot of people who would point to Rob Manfred and question his leadership. And then early in this year, the choice by baseball's front office. So this is not a choice of the individual franchises. We're not talking about players here. There was no vote that was made. It was a choice by baseball's owners and the commissioner to move the All-Star game from Atlanta to ultimately Denver and Coors Field. And part of the reason is because the Rockies and Coors Field had already been petitioning for an All-Star game. They were set up for an All-Star game. So being in line for an All-Star game meant they were more well-prepared and could handle kind of the late notice. I'm not going to tell you whether or not I agree with the, I don't agree with the move, but it, that has nothing to do with politics. I think it's extreme, and I'm not sure sports and politics need to be crossing right now. But if you agree with it, that's great. I'm not here to argue the politics of it. I'm not here to argue the ethics of it. I do think it was extreme. I wish baseball hadn't done it. But my point in calling baseball and the commissioner the evil empire right now is that the more they make these decisions, the more they alienate fans. And here's something else I would say. Baseball better be prepared to die on this hill if it comes down to it. It may not. This may blow over. Fans may get over it. It may become a non-story. Hear a little bit about it here or there before the All-Star break arrives, and then maybe it's a bit of a story when the All-Star game is being played. But otherwise, fans let it go. It's no big thing. But that could also not be the case. It could be that baseball suffers even more, a sport that's losing fans, where it's becoming more and more regional. Still aren't allowed to have full capacity crowds. So yes, there is money lost. Billions of dollars, actually. Baseball goes ahead and pulls a moneymaker, a revenue producer from the Atlanta area where they were prepared to have full capacity crowds, where a lot of people will see revenue lost because of a political stance. So if you're going to cross sports and politics, and Major League Baseball has followed suit of what the NBA did a couple years ago in moving its All-Star game from Charlotte, if sports leagues are going to cross with politics and make stances based on politics, what do you know automatically? You alienate hundreds of thousands of people. It's why I don't talk politics. I am passionate about some segments of politics, but I don't talk them because you instantly cut your audience in half. Can baseball afford to do that? And even if it's not about money, the second you step into the political realm, you invite controversy that you wouldn't otherwise have. So maybe baseball is fine with it. Maybe they're okay. They believe this is a hill they should die on if it comes to that. If this is their last stand, they want to be seen as doing what they believe is the right thing. But I say this to young people who ask me, hey, what advice do you have about social media? What advice do you have about navigating that world as part of your industry? And the first thing I say to them is choose your battles. Not every battle needs to be fought. And definitely not every battle needs to be fought on social media. When you do speak up, when it's something political, when it's something controversial, and you know it's going to create a stir, you better be damn well prepared to die on that hill if it comes to it. So there are people who say to me, why don't you take a stand? Well, because right now the most important thing to me is recognizing my employer and the fact that my first responsibility is to my employer. I don't want to blindside my employer by saying or doing something that would create a controversy and would cause them to have to either stand up for me or not stand up for me or la, 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 la. You get how it goes these days for public figures. So my first responsibility is to remember my employer. If and when there comes a day when I feel like I have to take a stand and somehow that intersects with my radio show. Maybe it's something that has something to do with radio, but I decided to take a stand on social media. That certainly impacts my employer as well. It's going to be a hill I'm prepared to die on. There may come a day when I have to stand up for something I believe in, and I'm willing to sacrifice my job if I have to do it. But it's not going to be social media, right? I mean, is this a hill that Major League Baseball is prepared to die on? Because these days, baseball is tenuous. Its relationship with fans is tenuous at best. So in making this move, in my opinion, you alienate more fans than you needed to. And then you come to find out that Rob Manfred's a member of Augusta National, a very exclusive golf club in Georgia. And you think, oh, well, maybe Rob Manfred's not prepared to die on that hill. Is he going to give up his membership to a Georgia golf club? Now, he represents the owners, and this was a collective decision of the owners. Maybe it's not how he feels personally. But baseball better be prepared. I heard from a lot of fans who say, now, this may or may not be the case, say they're done with baseball, say, that's enough. I already wasn't paying much attention to it. And we'll see if there's fallout. We'll see if there's enough fallout that it's palpable and it affects the bottom line for baseball. But yeah, if you're going to take a stand like this and potentially alienate half of your fan base, you better be prepared to die on that hill if you believe so strongly about it. I'm not sure it would have resonated at all if baseball just let it go and continued to hold their all-star game in Atlanta. But the owners feel like this is their opportunity to take a stand. It is interesting, the areas, the controversies where leagues will take a stand and yet others they will not. It's just, it's a murky pool, is it not? You wade into it. If you wade into politics, it becomes extremely murky. But sports leagues like the NBA and now Major League Baseball doing more and more of that. If you take a stand like that, you just got to be careful. You just got to know that there could be all kinds of fallout. And I feel like with everything else going on in Major League Baseball, that might be the evil empire right now for a lot of sports fans. At least it is for me. This image they've created over the past couple of years, it's rough. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. In your sports world, who is the evil empire?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no...
The pitch. Swing and a miss. A complete game five-hitter. Lance Lynn with an absolute gem. He strikes out 11. What a performance. And the White Sox beat the Royals 6-0.
The first pitch on, he was just nails. I told Yasmani after the game, I said, outstanding. And you know, then I said, you had a lot to work with. He said, I really did. I mean, he had control of all his pitches. And I mean, very deceptive. Ball had life. So, you know, can't say he came in one of the top hitting clubs in our league.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's great for a manager when you don't have to make any pitching changes, right? Lance Lynn goes the distance for the White Sox and for Tony La Russa. He's now 1-0 on the season. Oh, it's nice. So nice. Everybody's got to start somewhere. 9 full innings pitched, 5 hits allowed, no runs, no walks, 11 strikeouts. And how's this for a little bit of numerology, which I don't play with that much, but 11 Ks, 111 pitches thrown for Lance Lynn. And the White Sox blank the Royals 6-0. And both those teams are exactly 500. That's the home opener for the White Sox on Thursday. It's After
Take
Hours.
Take that for data.
And thank you. Thank you so much, David Fizdale. Tisdale? Wayne Tisdale? 6 degrees of separation. Where is Fizdale now? Other than helping us with nerd alerts. Is he doing TV?
I think he's on a staff in the league. I just can't remember where.
Huh. I've lost track of Mr. Fizdale. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Love hearing from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our question, we kind of put it off. We suggested it a couple nights ago, and then we've put it off in the last couple of days because we've been so busy with other stuff. It's the technical term for all the sports stories we've been covering. Stuff. We've been jam-packed with stuff, like a double stuff Oreo or an entire row of them. Ooh, I've got some Oreos in my cupboard. Friday feels like a good time to eat Oreos. So in light of that, we've pushed back our Evil Empire question, but we're getting some great responses so far on social media. In your sports world, who represents the Evil Empire? Who is that franchise or that athlete that you love to hate? In fact, you root as hard against that team or that athlete as you root, as much as you put passion into rooting for your own teams. You're not sure what you'd choose. For that team to lose or for your team to win? Oh, that's a conundrum. Okay, let's go to our phones here. 855-212-4227. Dan is in Indiana. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't know if I'm on the right side or the wrong side, but I go to sports to get away from the real life sometimes, and it just seems like anymore everybody wants everybody to take a stance on it, and then it's hard to enjoy baseball or football without getting into some of the political stuff. And I just wish that somehow we could just enjoy sports again and just watch it and to get away from the real world for a couple hours. You know, even when I go golfing with my dad, he'll start talking politics and I got to tell him, Dad, I'm golfing. Okay. I'm golfing. I don't want to talk politics right now. I don't know if it's possible to do that.
No,
but man, it's not possible
because these are real people. And more importantly than that, I mean, you know, because you play golf and then you do other things in your life, right? There's no such thing as a one-dimensional human being. There's no such thing as a one-track mind, as much as women like to say men have one. It's not possible because we're multifaceted, multidimensional humans with minds and souls and hearts and wills and emotions. But I will also say this, even more than the fact that sports are made up of human beings, is the fact that sports are big business and big money. And how often do we see leagues kowtow to the almighty dollar? You think about the NBA's flap with China last year and how much the league backpedaled to try to cover up for a comment by one of its owners that if you're a believer in human rights and basic human rights, what the Houston owner had to say is actually, I mean, I agree with it and I felt like somebody had to say it. But because the NBA is in bed with China and wants the money that comes from that Chinese market, a lot of times, you know, we don't talk about human rights then, but in the United States, hey, if we feel like we are going to lose some sponsors because we're on the wrong side of a political argument, then by all means, let's move one of our marquee events. I mean, it's hypocritical. It's definitely not uniform across the board where these leagues pick and choose, and it's all because of the money, Dan. It really is. So I agree with you. I wish sports could just be fun and entertainment. Though for me, it's a job, so I kind of understand that it's money for me too. It's my paycheck. It's not possible anymore because of the worth and the revenue that's invested for sports leagues and sports teams.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you in Indiana. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Bobby is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Morning. Hey, I just wanted to give a happy belated birthday to your grandma. I forgot to tell you last week.
Yeah, she's on her way to 100 now. I mean, she's 99 in a couple of days, but it's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is. Amy, the answer to that question I got is the Pirates' ownership is definitely the evildoers. I mean,
the evildoers.
They are. I mean, the ownership is terrible. I mean, they just give our players away every time. Every time a contract's up for signing, we give away our best players. Josh Bell, Tylon. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, I want to root for them every year, and they're making it harder and harder. And you hate to see it, but the fans need to take a stand against this gentleman. You know, we're tired of it already. I know I am. And in a way, I'm starting to feel is even in basketball, like you were saying, I think they're taking the competitiveness out of the game. To tell you the truth, it's becoming big business, and because hey, I play basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah, They're taking, well, not only that, they're taking.
You don't think it's competitive? Have you seen how the Western Conference, well, the Eastern Conference, too, it's mediocre, but it's still competitive.
It is, but they took the defense. You know, they don't play defense no more. They really don't play it.
Some teams do. Not every team, no. That's because not every athlete plays defense. You're right. But some teams play D.
Some teams do, but I'm telling you, a lot of it went away. Because I always wanted, you know, back in the days, you know, I know it's changed. Don't get me wrong. It has to change. But, hey, the superstars today, you don't see them going one-on-one and locking each other down like it was in the days. Not today. I don't see it too much. Mm. I want to see that again, you know. I want to see that breakdown. I want to see LeBron and somebody else go at it, you know. I want to see LeBron Trump, but I know he's getting older, but the younger guys,
Bobby,
they're locking each other down.
Do you know what ISO ball is?
ISO ball.
ISO ball, yeah, as in isolation. All right, so we see a lot of that, actually. I prefer team ball. I prefer the Warriors brand of basketball. We saw it with Gonzaga, the ball movement, getting everybody involved in a play or everybody involved when it's a half-court set. We do see a lot of ISO ball. It's actually kind of boring. But I would agree with you about the defense. It's not a staple for every team. So, Bobby, I want you to know you're not alone when it comes to labeling the Pirates ownership as evil, as the evil empire, because I just got, I've seen a couple of tweets, I've seen a couple of Facebook posts that agree with you on that front.
Yeah. It's terrible.
I'm sorry. You, at least you have a great ballpark. I love PNC Park.
Oh, that's one of the most beautiful parks in Major League. It
yes.
is. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. So, all right, Bobby. Yes. Well, don't let it ruin your weekend.
No, it will not. I'll talk to you. Thank you very
all right,
much.
Thank you. Do you think I'll ever become a back-in-the-day person? Dave, if I ever say back-in-the-day, back in my day,
get
please.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, please. I mean, I'm not the get off my lawn person because I have a dog, so I can't tell anyone else to get off my lawn, but I don't want to be a back-in-the-day person. You promise you won't ever let me turn into a back-in-the-day person.
You got it.
Okay,
I'll turn
cool.
your mic off if you do that.
Yes, please do that. Dump it if you must. Just got this tweet as we were talking to Bobby. Dave says, Bob Nutting. The reason for that is I've lived in Pittsburgh my whole life. I'm 35, and I'm convinced that man owns the Pirates. They'll never be competitive because he won't spend money to keep quality players. The ownership of the Pirates labeled as the evil empire. What about you?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.